Yeah. Welcome to episode 74 of the Speak On It podcast, hosted by your boy T-Lip. What up, though? What's happening? Hey, man. Say, man. Wild card weekend is finished. There were some great games and there were some blowouts. Yesterday, we kind of had two blowouts. They were never really competitive football games. But, you know, sometimes that's what wild card weekend is, you know? So you're going to see some seven seeds. You're going to see the six seeds playing. And you just never know what you're going to get from those teams, you know? But if you watched the games yesterday, then you seen what we was going to get. Without further ado, we're going to jump into the first game yesterday that literally got postponed a whole day because of the snowstorm, the hazardous weather out there in Buffalo. They had to postpone the game. Pittsburgh couldn't even fly in on, Saturday? They couldn't even fly in on that day because it was just so much going on. Literally had to push the game back. However, they was able to play the game. They was able to clear the field. Fans came out and helped shovel the field, shoveled around the field. They couldn't even shovel, like, the seats. There was no assigned seats in the Bills Stadium. Like, wherever you wanted to sit at, you could have sat at. So if you got there early enough, you could have been right there behind the, no matter the seats, because it was snow everywhere. Like, they couldn't move all of the snow off of the seats and, you know, out of the stands. So people literally was crawling through the snow, you know, to get to a seat. But I liked it, man. I liked it. It didn't look like it was freezing cold. It looked like it was probably, like, you know, around, like, 20 degrees, 10 degrees, which is cold, but it's better than being below zero, you know? But however, let's get to the game. This game was a blowout. I mean, you looked up in the score, it was 14-0, and then it was 21-0, and the game was over from there. The Bills took care of business. They came out there and did what they were supposed to do. They handled business at home. Josh Allen had a great day. He made some good throws, made some key throws in the first quarter. Basically had two passing touchdowns. Let's see. Yep, two passing touchdowns in the first quarter. He threw a corner route to Dawson Knox, 9-yard touchdown. Then he threw a seam route down the middle to Dalton Kincaid. He loved his tight ends. That's one thing I've been seeing from Josh Allen, like, on the back end of this season. He's been throwing more to other guys other than just Stephon Diggs. Like, I wouldn't say he was forcing the ball to Stephon Diggs, but he was throwing the ball to him, you know, the last 3 years. He's been throwing – Stephon had 15 targets damn near each game, you know. He led this game with targets as well. He had 9 targets, 7 catches, 52 yards. But Kincaid had 3 catches for 59 yards, and he led the team in yards. But – Josh Allen has been utilizing his weapons more. Maybe he see that, you know, Stephon Diggs probably is going to, you know, not be a Buffalo Bill next year. So he's trying to spread the ball to other guys, get them going early right now, especially in the playoffs. Kincaid made some big plays yesterday. He's just a rookie. Dawson Knox made some plays yesterday. Hardy made some plays yesterday. Shakir made some plays yesterday. You know, obviously he's going to throw the ball to James Cook as well. Gabe Davis is out with a knee injury. We'll see if he's going to play this week, but who knows. He's just been spreading the wealth, man. He's been spreading the ball, getting the ball to his guys, just showing that he's just not, you know, attached to Stephon Diggs, which a lot of people thought he was, you know. Obviously, y'all seen his brother. Y'all seen Trayvon Diggs tweet early in the season talking about, you know, we know what you was before my brother got there. Maybe that kind of changed up, you know. Maybe that kind of activated another level to Josh Allen. So that's why I be saying, like, bro, sometimes criticism ain't the worst thing. You feel me? I think that shit can take you to a new level, you know. You know, hating, people hating on you, I think that can take you to a new level. Because, like, it's people applauding you and being happy for you, that's going to make you more complacent. But somebody hating on you, somebody throwing shots at you, you know, somebody from, you know, that's probably connected to somebody in your locker room doing it, it can take you to another level, because it can give you this whole, like, all right, bet, aura around you. Or you can just be like, fuck it, I'm going to go out here and, like, I'm going to really take over because I'm one of the top players in the NFL. Josh Allen is one of the top players in the NFL. He's literally showcased why he is a game changer. Yes, I said it. Josh Allen is a game changer. He might turn the ball over, but that don't mean he ain't no game changer. Brett Favre turned the ball over. That ain't mean he wasn't no game changer at all. So it looks like this team is basically leaning on Josh Allen. He was 21 for 30, 203 yards, 3 touchdowns. And he also added 8 carries for 74 yards and a touchdown, in which one of the runs he basically ran for a 52-yard run for the touchdown. I don't know if they thought he was about to slide or whatever it was, but, I mean, he's a big dude to tackle. One thing you don't see from Josh Allen a lot is him sliding. Like, you never really see him sliding at all. So I wouldn't even prepare for him to slide. I'd rather just take the hit. I'd rather hit him regardless, because he don't look like he really trying to slide all the time. He trying to deliver the blow. And he's a 6'5", 6'6", 230-pound, 40-pound quarterback that can run a 4.5. He's one of those athletic guys that can change the game with his arm and his legs. You know, that's just what I see from him. And shit, that's what everybody sees from him, for sure. But they also had a running game going with James Cook. They turned around and handed him off the ball 18 times, and he had 79 yards. He was able to run the ball yesterday. I mean, he was creasing the defense. He was, 7 yards a carry. What do you have? He had 4 yards a carry, but there were some times he was getting 7 yards a carry, 8 yard runs, 10 yard runs. Like, he was keeping the chains moving forward. He was basically keeping Pittsburgh's respect, because they can't just say, okay, they just gonna, let Josh Allen loose the whole time. No, now they got a running back that, they haven't had a running back in over, 10 years to run over 1,000 yards. James Cook has been the first running back within the last 10 years on the Bills team. Think about that. The Bills team, where you got Marshawn Lynch, you got Reggie Bush was even there, LeSean McCoy, Thomas Davis. I may be missing somebody, but those are the guys you have. And nobody have ran over 1,000 yards within the last 10 years. And James Cook is the first one to do it. So, obviously, they have weapons out of the backfield. They have a weapon on the outside. And their offense is just getting better. This has become an offensive team, especially with all the injuries they have on defense. Von Miller was back yesterday. He looked well. Let me see what he had. Did he have any, big plays? He had some rushes that I seen. Some hurries, some quarterback hurries and things like that. I don't see him on here. But he has some hurries, though. Hurries is not an actual statistic on Bleacher's Report or anything like that. You dig what I'm saying? But, shit, even their number one corner yesterday didn't play. Rasul Douglas, he didn't play. Taylor Rapp didn't play. So, but they were able to go out there and, continue to get the win. Defense gave up 17 points. Let me see. They gave up one touchdown in the third quarter. The second quarter, and one touchdown in the fourth quarter. The game was basically over, though. It was 24. It was 21 zip. The game was basically over. Pittsburgh just have a lot of questions regarding the coaching, regarding the quarterback, regarding, if they want to continue to – what do they want to do? What do Pittsburgh want to do? Do they want to freshen things up? Do they want to just change everything? Do they want to give it one more shot with Tomlin and the boys? What do they want to do? Because, it comes a point in everyone's career that, we're seeing it. We're seeing Pete Carroll leave. We're seeing Bill Belichick leave. You feel me? These guys are getting fired. We're seeing Nick Saban retiring. Like, we're seeing coaches kind of take a step back. You feel me? Sean Payton did it early last year. Last year he was out. Or the year before last, he had kind of, retired for a year and just set back. We're seeing these guys taking a step back away from the game a little bit. Maybe they come back, maybe they don't. But I don't know what's going on in Mike Tomlin's head. I'm not trying to think for him or anything, but he has some questions he's going to have to answer within the next couple months of if he want to, you know, continue coaching or if he want to step back or if he want to, you know, go and coach somewhere else. Who knows, man? Because you say, oh, he has all these winning seasons and he has all these winning seasons. Tomlin should have won a Super Bowl when he had Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, in that defense. He should have won a Super Bowl, but he didn't. Like, he had lost one playoff game to the Jaguars. Now, I understand the Jaguars is good. I think it was in like 2008, 2007. I think it was after we played them. 2006, one of them. They should have won a championship, though. Like, they had the pieces. But it's just something that they just couldn't get over the hump. So there's going to be some questions that need to be answered out of Pittsburgh. I like Pickens. I think Pickens has so much raw talent, man. He just have to calm down and focus. He need to find some discipline within his game, you know. Obviously, he's not going to be able to just change like that. He's not going to be able to just change his attitude. A part of his attitude is how he play as well, you know. Like, that's a part of his play. So you can't just say, oh, we're just going to have to be this calm guy and this or that. We don't want the fire from you, because all of that, like his big playability comes from that fire. You know, he just have to learn how to manage it a little better. And, you know, as you get older, you'll be able to learn how to manage it. But he has raw talent, man. He literally has 60 catches and he had 1,000 yards off 60 catches this year. And he didn't play the last game. This is a guy that's 6'4", you know, can run the routes, make tough catches. You talk about 50-50 balls, he turned them into 80-20. He catching them 80% of the time. So he just have to, you know, add on to what he did this year. Don't step back. Become a number one receiver. Become that guy. They got to get a quarterback. Kenny Pickett is not the quarterback for the Steelers. They need to get a quarterback. They need to get a legitimate quarterback. Kenny Pickett is not it. I don't know what they need to do, but they need to figure it out. If they can get a Matthew Stafford or something, they need to try to figure it out. Because that ain't it. But they have some questions that they need to move forward with as well. They barely made the playoffs. I didn't think the Steelers was going to make the playoffs. Because I thought the Jags was going to win. And then I was going to put the Houston Texans at the 7th seed. And that was going to be the 2 seeds. But when the Jags lost, it knocked them out of the playoffs. And put Houston in the 4th spot. And put the Pittsburgh, clinched them a spot. So, didn't want to see Pittsburgh at all in the playoffs. Because I knew they weren't going to have no quarterback. You don't want to see that, man. Mason Rudolph is cool in the regular season. But he's a backup quarterback for a reason. There was a reason why Mitch Trubisky was starting over him after Pickett got hurt for multiple weeks. Mason Rudolph didn't start starting until literally like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So it's just some decisions that need to be made. Some tough decisions need to be made out there in Pittsburgh. But shout out to the Bills, man, for taking care of their business. I think they said this is the 4th straight year the Bills have won the wild card playoff game. It's going to be lovely next week in Buffalo, man. Kansas City travel to Buffalo. Obviously, we remember the Kansas City-Buffalo game this year in Arrowhead with the Travis Kelce throwback to Tony and Tony being called offsides because he lined up on the line and the whole controversy with that. And now they get to play again. Now they get to see each other again in Buffalo. This is Patrick Mahomes' first road game ever outside of the Super Bowl in the playoffs. He's always had, you know, the home field advantage. He was either the 1 seed or the 2 seed. Most likely the 1 seed, though. This is his first playoff game on the road. This is big. I think he has 12 wins. 12 playoff wins and 3 losses. And the 3 losses came, one of them came at home versus the Bengals. And the other two, One came at home versus the Bengals. I think another one came against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl and Tom Brady in the regular season. I don't know. Whatever. But first time on the road for Patrick Mahomes, man. Let's see if he's going to be able to go in there and outdo Josh Allen and win that game. I think that game will be closer than some people think. I'll talk about that later, though. But great win for the Bills. Great outing for Josh Allen. And they're moving on. And they're moving on. Just like they're moving on, I'm moving on. Let's head over to, you know, to Tampa Bay, man. Baker Mayfield, Buccaneers. Shout out to Baker Mayfield, man. You know I've been critical of Baker Mayfield. I thought this motherfucker sucked. I did. It's just he was talking so much and his game wasn't like, it wasn't matching. And it's just like, bro, you just talking. Like, you talking a lot, but your game not matching. But soon as he stopped talking and stopped being extra arrogant and just started to focus on his play, and, you know, obviously he had the right opportunity as well. When he just started to do that and leave off that whole tough guy moxie bullshit, he became maybe the best version of himself. Baker Mayfield yesterday, obviously the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won 32-9. First off, Tampa Bay stopped the tush push on the 1 yard line. I knew it was over then. I have not seen not one tush push get stopped. Since they've been calling the tush push, the Eagles, since last year, I have not seen not one of them get stopped. And yesterday in the playoff game, Vita Vea in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense stopped the tush push on the 1 yard line. I knew it was over. I knew it was over. I mean, I knew it was over before the game. I didn't pick the Eagles at all. I just feel like they was unraveling. It was too much going on. I'm not even going to say they had a Super Bowl hangover. It's just probably that they were just too comfortable. Like, it wasn't a new season to them. It was kind of like the same season as last year. They didn't approach this season, you know, with a clear mind. They kind of approached this season like, hey, this is still a part of last season. We're still that team. And you're not that team. You're not that team. You can't approach the season like we're the same team as we was last year. No, because there's going to be different aspects that happen. There's going to be different things that happen. There's going to be different challenges, different trials and tribulations, you know, different injuries. There's going to be all of that. And it was a different coaching staff. They lost their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator. I said that prior to the season that was going to be, that was going to be pivotal. Like Jalen Hurts is going to miss out because they lost their offensive coordinator. That's what happens sometimes when you go to the Super Bowl, though. You know, that's what happens. You lose coaches. They become head coaches elsewhere. The Colts head coach and the Cardinals head coach. That's what they lost him to. But like I said, shout out to Baker Mayfield, man. He was 22 for 36. 337 yards, 3 touchdowns. And he came out throwing the rock. Like, he was throwing the rock. They drove the ball down there in the first quarter. They got the ball first, drove the ball. And, they got 3 points out of it. They should have scored because they were driving the ball so easily. They got 3 points out of it. Then they got the ball again, drove the ball down there and actually completed the touchdown. David Moore caught a 44-yard catch and run. And the Eagles' defense, man, I told people, bro, the Eagles, even last year, the Eagles' defense was bad, bro. They made splash plays on defense last year. And, you know, they was able to, you know, somehow buckle it down when they needed to. But they couldn't do that this year. They had no linebackers. It's crazy how they be drafting all these defensive linemen, but they can never stop the run. Fletcher Cox, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, you know, the high-paid D linemen they got, Hassan Reddick, Sweat, all these guys that can really play, but they cannot stop the run. They have no linebackers on their team. They signed Leonard, but he didn't make a difference like that. The secondary was, I would get a secondary a C to C minus. I mean, you got Big Play Slay back there, but I think he leaves this year. Bradbury, I mean, Debo Samuel told y'all. I mean, do y'all still think that wasn't holding in the Super Bowl? Y'all still think he didn't hold Juju Smith-Schuster last year? Y'all still don't think he's a cornerback that holds? Yes, he do, bro. He do. He's not that good right now. He had a bad year this year. He had a bad year last year. He just made some plays, you know, some plays, and they had to stick with him at that point. But he didn't have a really good year this year. And then they safeties. They had Blankenship. Was it Kevin Byard? They had him towards later in the season after the trade deadline. But this defense had a lot of issues, man. A lot of issues that they just couldn't fix during the season. And obviously they had leadership on the defense, but maybe they just need new voices, new flavor, man. Maybe because sometimes, like, when you have the same voice there all the time, it's like the team get tired of that voice. They get tired of it, you know? And then it'd be time for you to just blow things up. So the Eagle defense is bad. Number one, White, the running back, 18 carries, 72 yards. He ran the ball pretty well. He did his thing. Tight end, Otten, 8 catches, 89 yards. He had about 3 drops, too. He dropped a touchdown. I seen him drop another over route that could have went for like 30 yards, 25 yards at least. So he left some yards and some catches on the ground as well. Mike Evans dropped a deep ball down the sideline. He dropped a couple deep balls, which you don't really see that a lot from, you know, Mike Evans. But he dropped one that was damn near like a 60-yard bomb down the right sideline. If he'd have caught it, he would have fell right into the end zone. But he kind of dropped it. That kind of shocked me a little bit because you see Mike Evans catch the tough passes. You see him catch the tough passes. But maybe that turned him up next week. We shall see. I think it's Trey Palmer. He caught a out route, a simple out route, bro. Simple speed out. 5-yard out. Burst release, anti-burst release outside, 5-yard out, catch the ball, make a move, and break it for 56 yards. Like, the tackling on the Eagles' defense was so bad. The angles, the tackling, they didn't play together. It was a bunch of individuals. Like, this entire team was a bunch of individuals. Now, I don't know who screwed that up. But this team was a bunch of individuals. You can point out literally at every position where there were a bunch of, I understand the NFL players are independent contractors, but they played like this entire season. The Eagles' entire team played like all, they only cared about themselves. They only cared about their numbers, their stats. You know, that's all they care about, and that wasn't good. That's not winning football. It's just not. Baker spread the ball around to a lot of guys. He looked clean. He looked good. Even though he got sacked 4 times, he still was able to get up and throw the ball 36 times for over 300 yards in a playoff game. Great season for Baker, man. Comeback player of the year to me. He played for 2 teams last year. He played for the Panthers to start the season. Then he played for the Rams to end the season. It's probably all coming full circle for Baker Mayfield now. He was the number one draft pick like 5 or 6 years ago. And he is up until now, his career has been up and down, you know. He might have had a little glimpse of a up with the Browns, but then they let him go, you know. They let him go. And that's what it was. But he's probably getting settled somewhere now. Maybe that's in Tampa, you know. Maybe they do sign him to a long-term deal. Who knows? I don't know the direction that their program is trying to go into. But what he came down there and did, especially with Tom Brady, was just the quarterback last year. He came down there and won a division again and won a playoff game, something they weren't able to do last year with Tom Brady. He came down there and this is his second playoff game. I think he won. He won one against Pittsburgh with Cleveland, then lost the next week to the Chiefs. But this is his second playoff win. And this win was on his back. He looked good, man. He made the throws. Timing was there. He did his thing. He got the ball to his weapons. Got it out of his hand early. And he didn't try to do too much. Like, he ain't really try to do too much. And that's what you want. That's what you want from Baker. Defense showed up. You got guys on that defense that can play, man. You got Dean. You got Lavonte David. You got Carlton Davis. You got Antoine Winfield, all pro. You got Devin White. You got Vita Vea. Will Ghostin, shout out to the homie. Like you got some guys. This defense still can play, nah. This defense still can play. So them traveling to Detroit next, what, they, I think they play next Sunday. Them traveling to Detroit next Sunday, that's gonna be a thing right there. Like, this Buccaneers team ain't just about to walk into Detroit and all. Oh, well, it's Detroit. They played each other this year too. In Tampa Bay, and the Lions went down there and won 20-6. Tampa Bay gonna remember that. They got something to say. I think Tampa Bay got the better defense. And I'm not just willing to say that the Lions just have the better offense. You know, because Tampa Bay got an offense. They got Mike Evans. They got Chris Godwin. They got David Moore, obviously. Otta, the tight end. You know, they got Rashad White. I think that's his name, Rashad White, the running back. And they got Baker. So they offense pretty good, man. They can run the ball and they can pass the ball. And they have the better defense. So we're going to have to see, man. We're going to have to see what goes on. We're going to have to see what goes on, because I think this is going to be one of the better playoff games next weekend. I think this is going to be one of the better playoff games for sure next weekend. Speaking of next weekend, the games on Saturday at 4:30, Houston plays the Ravens. That'll be the first game of the divisional round weekend. And then Saturday night, the Packers will be playing the 49ers. So Saturday is going to be loving. The two number one seeds will play on Saturday against the two young, you know, damn near phenom quarterbacks that just first got their first playoff games, first playoff wins, first year starting. C.J. Stroud, the rookie, and Jordan Love, the first year starting. So those are going to be two high impact games. I'm going to ask y'all this question, man. If one of the which one seed is in more trouble? Which one seed is in more trouble? Is that the Ravens or is that the 49ers? And I'm just talking about this round right now, this Saturday. Moving on from that, Sunday, we're going to move on and play. I mean, it's going to be the Buccaneers travel to Detroit and play the Lions. That's going to be a battle. And then you're going to end it with Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. Kansas City Chiefs versus the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. So we're getting some great football next weekend. We're getting some great football next weekend. I'm tuned in, locked in, so that's going to be great. But let me talk about the Eagles real quick. Obviously there's some speculation that they might fire their coach. I think there's going to be big changes to that organization. I think they're going to wipe the house out. They like a lot of the guys been on the team for a long time. I think they're going to get some new flavor. They need some new younger guys in there. They need new direction. If they do fire the coach, I've seen something that they should sign Mike Vrabel. I think they should sign Mike Vrabel. He's a very, very smart coach. He was a very, very smart NFL player. He played offense and defense. This is a guy that give you 10-plus sacks a year. And then he can also line up at tight end in the Super Bowl and catch Super Bowl touchdowns, which I've seen him do. This is a guy that had the Tennessee Titans playing great football for a few years. Great football. A physical team, a smart team. He had them ready week in and week out. They never looked like they wasn't playing for him. Maybe the Eagles players look like they wasn't playing for Sirianni no more. Maybe. But one thing I watched and I've seen with Mike Vrabel, those guys never stopped playing for him down there in Tennessee. No matter who the quarterback was, no matter what. A lot of the guys have a lot of good things to say about him. And, you know, he used to be a player, so I'm sure he has that player vibe to him, but he's also was one of the smartest guys in the NFL while he was playing. You have to be smart to play both sides of the ball. Some guys can't even get that shit right on one side of the ball. Some guys have MAs, you know, missed assignments on one side of the ball all the time. You have to be smart to play both sides of the ball, and he was able to do that. So shout out to Mike Vrabel. If he do get the Philadelphia Eagles job, they do fire Nick Sirianni, I think the Eagles will be in good hands. I think the Eagles will be in good hands. And let's talk about the Eagles real quick. Let's talk about Jalen Hurts. Because a lot of people will probably say he regressed this year. Obviously, he was hurt. Something was different. But the play calling, man, the play calling was bad. The play calling was bad. It was bad. It's like every year you have to upgrade. You have to adjust. They didn't adjust. They did not adjust. Like, they looked like they was first-time play callers. They just kept him in a shotgun literally all the time. You know how shotgun cuts the playbooks down so much? Like, Philadelphia should be lining up in the eye formation and running the ball. They should be running 12 personnel a lot. They should be running under center, naked, boots, straight handoffs, play action passes. They should be doing that instead of just putting him in a shotgun every play and running the ball to the right, running the ball to the left, read option this way, veer this way, quarterback run this way, slant over here, out route over here. Like, bruh, you have – there's like 200, 400 plays that they missing out on by just putting him in a gun, shotgun every single play. The Eagles need to find an offensive coordinator, or if they fire their coach, they need to find a coach that can put him under center. Put Jalen Hurts under center. That will help him turn around, just turning his back to the defense, able to hide the ball, play action pass. Like I said, naked, boots, easy throws, easy things. Everything is so hard for him right now. Because when you playing the Eagles, you know they're going to be in shotgun. You know they're going to be in shotgun the whole game. Like, that cuts off a lot of offense. They have to find somebody that could take Jalen Hurts back to where he was, that can add to his game. You know, like how Joe Brady did for Josh Allen. He started to run the ball more. He started to put him under the center. He started to take all of the weight off of his shoulders and give some, you know, to James Cook. And stop having James Cook like he's a secondary running back. No, hand him off the ball 20 times a game and watch what he do. They need to put Jalen Hurts under center and utilize him in that way. Just to add more variety to the offense, man. They was so stuck and stagnant. It's like everybody knew what they was going to do every single time. There was nothing different about that offense. It was very mundane. It was very vanilla. They need to put him under center. Bring a fullback to the team. Philly got to be a dominant physical team. Like, you can't just be running the tush push all the time. Get a fullback and get in the eye formation and hand the ball off. Run 24 ISO, 24 power. Toss. That's what you need to do. They need to be trying to go and get the offensive coordinator from Houston. They need to go and be trying to go and get some coordinator from the Kyle Shanahan tree. Because those coordinators work under the center. They need to do that. Just because y'all gave him $200 million, you don't need this. Hey, he got to lead us to the promised land every single time. No. He can do that on third down most of the time. They got to find a way to make his first and second downs easier. One read throws. Boots, nakeds, sprint outs. Screens all from under center. That's what the Eagles need to add. That's what they need to be looking for this offseason. That's what they need to be looking, because you gotta protect your quarterback, bro. He wasn't protected this year. You gotta protect your quarterback. He the face of the program. He the one that basically led y'all to the Super Bowl last year. He was the MVP candidate last year. He's the same guy. Get him healthy. Get him an offense coordinator. And watch what he can do. Watch what he can do. Because it ain't always on the player, man. Like, some coaches be bad. Like, some coaches be young. They don't be knowing what they be doing. Some coaches be so vanilla that they don't know that they vanilla. Like, some coaches really be young and they play calling. They don't really be knowing what they don't know. Like, I'm sure his offensive coordinator this year is going to learn. He learned a lot this year, and he's going to attack it moving forward next year. But they don't have all that time. You know, this is a win-now business, period. That's what the NFL is. It's a win-now business. So they need to find him an offensive coordinator that can utilize, can open him up more. Help utilize him better. Like I said, put him under center. Give him where he can just hand the ball off. Little league. Under center, hand the ball off. Roll to the right, roll to the left. Play action pass. And call it a day. All this shotgun, fake play action pass, when they can see the ball, like, that shit don't work. That shit ain't working. Offense got to be versatile. They need to do that. But they got a whole offseason to think about it. They scored 9 points in the playoff game. That ain't gonna cut it, bro. You can't even get to 10 points in the playoff game. Ain't gonna cut it. But yeah, man. Shout out to Jason Kelce too. Obviously, I think he told his teammates he's retiring. Shout out to Jason Kelce, man. One of the best centers in the game. One of the best careers. He got a Super Bowl. So shout out to him, man. Shout out to Jason Kelce. He's a great leader, a great player. You can tell he plays with a fire and a passion that you just can't coach. It's just in him, bro. When I seen him last year, I don't know if it was the Super Bowl, when I guess somebody had gotten to his face and he just kind of yelled, like, he just kind of roared at him like a fucking lion. I was like, man, I love that shit right there. I was like, I love that. You can't coach that. You can't coach that passion, bro. You can't coach that zeal, that love for the game. You can't. Everybody don't have it, bro. So when you see it, it's like, man, you got to appreciate it. You got to appreciate it. So shout out to Jason Kelce for retiring, man. One of the best players in the NFL. A great career in Philadelphia. Played for one team. I think he played for them for, I think, like 12 years. Who knows? But great career. And, man, good luck to you moving forward, brother. But, yeah, man, it has to be some changes. It's probably going to be some changes in Philadelphia. It's probably going to be some changes in Pittsburgh. It may be some changes in Dallas. There's going to be some changes, man. We're going to see, like I said, the next week or so, we're going to know more about the situation, because just because the season over don't mean it stops. Soon as the season ends, the next season starts. That's the thing about the NFL. Soon as the Super Bowl over with, they already talking about the combine the next day. They're talking about prospects. They're talking about who's going to get replaced. It's a constant cycle, man. It's kind of like a simulation a little bit. But it's a constant cycle, man. It don't stop. It do not stop. It do not stop. But, yeah, man, obviously I'll talk about, you know, these upcoming playoff games this weekend. I'll go more in depth. What's today? I'll probably go a little bit more in depth Thursday and Friday. So I'm going to drop podcast episodes 75 and 76 on Thursday and Friday. And I'm going to drop them. I'm going to drop an episode on, I may drop one on Thursday and I may drop one on Saturday prior to the game. And then I'm going to drop one Sunday to talk about the Saturday games. And then I'm going to drop one Monday to talk about the Sunday games. So, man, it's the playoff times, man. I'm dropping podcasts. I'm on this. I ain't playing. I told y'all. I'm in this, man. I'm in it. I got called a podcast. Mother called me a podcast. Like, I ain't played this game for 25 years. But I like it, though. It's funny to me. I just be laughing, you dig? I just be laughing, man, because people don't know what they don't know. And I'm not about to argue with you about something you don't know. I ain't arguing with nobody. You better understand that. Y'all enjoy yourself. But stay tuned to the podcast, man. We turned up, man. We turning up. You dig what I'm saying? If you tuned in to episode 74, I appreciate you. It's love. Shout out to all the players. I always say, man, I hope all of y'all remain healthy. If your season ended last night or this weekend, man, I hope you're able to have a healthy season, healthy offseason, to where you don't have to rehab. You can just train, live your life, man, set your goals, all of that, man. Shout out to all the guys in the NFL, man. I wish health for all y'all, man. I pray all the time for y'all, man, for health, man, and, you know, and strength. Physical strength, mental strength, and spiritual strength, man, because you're going to need all of that. It's a tough game, man. It's a tough business. So shout out to y'all. Speak on it. Podcast episode 74. Lip out.